Three short psalms today, 46, 47, and 48. Psalm 46, to the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth, whoever that is. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. Pause and think about that. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. In those few verses, and throughout these three psalms that we're going to study, God is our refuge. And so we have so many reasons to praise Him. God is a refuge. In Him we have a hiding place of safety. And that makes us have so many reasons to praise Him. So beginning off in those five verses, the question that is going on in the psalmist's mind is, are you being pursued by some troubles? Are you being tormented by so many problems? Do you have some enemies? Some people that you have to keep fighting and keep wrestling? If that is so, we have a place of safety. We have a place that we go to for help, for safety, for strength. And that place is God Himself. He says, a very present help in trouble. That means you have to be in trouble to get help or to look for help. We will not fear. That means we have things that we go against. We have things that cause us to fear. All right, I was just talking to somebody and they're going through fear. Fear of confronting a problem that actually needs to be confronted. Have you ever met somebody that you know you have to meet, but before you meet the person, you really fear to meet the person? Maybe it's your boss, a friend. You need to confront somebody, but you're tormented by fear. You really have something to wrestle down, and we all do. We have a place to run for help. He gives this example of even if the earth is moved, removed, and thrown, the mountains thrown into the sea. And that, of course, causes some waves to be produced, right? Have you ever thrown a huge block of solid into water? It causes waves. It has a ripple effect. And even if the earth is removed and thrown into the sea, into the ocean, and the waters, you notice there in verse 3, and the waters roar and get troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. He says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. He's really talking about Jerusalem. And you know that in history and up to this day, God's city is still in trouble. Right? If you go to Jerusalem, you will probably hardly sleep because there are enemies all around. Have you ever lived in a place and you know all your neighbors are your enemies? You never would go there, right? In fact, when we're looking for housing, we're looking for the safest place ever. Who is the neighbor on the other side? Who is the neighbor on the other side? Do we have a gate? Does the house have a door or windows and proper shutting facilities? And think about Jerusalem, Israel. To this day, all the countries around them are enemies. The Palestinians are outside, but they're also within. They're Palestinian Jews. In fact, almost every week, stabbing Jews. In fact, there's a video I watched. This Palestinian man was walking with a knife. And the footage shows this man directly attacking a specific Jew, stabbing them in the stomach and wrestling them down. Now, of course, you know that if you do that, you're also dead because they'll get you and you're finished. But that's what they go through. That's what they've gone through in ages. But the psalmist says, even if the most and the worst happens, the worst is to see a mountain being thrown into a sea. Have you ever seen that? That would be disastrous. That would be quite a sight. A whole hill being moved into the sea, and then the ripple effect, the waves produced attack the shores. Even if the worst comes to the worst, is what the psalm is saying. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God himself, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. So imagine the worst happening in your life. Something very dear being removed. Losing something very personal and something very expensive. Whatever it is. The psalmist says there is a river. There is a place of peace and joy in the city of God. Now directly that would be the Jordan River. But it's more than just the Jordan River. Water and rivers speak of peace and joy, and symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And the psalmist would eventually say, God himself is in that city. He lives there. In Jerusalem was the temple, and in the temple was the symbol of God's presence. And much as Jerusalem has gone through so much trouble, God has never left. And God will always protect Jerusalem. In fact, that is where he's going to land when he comes back the second time. It says God is in the middle of Jerusalem, his holy city. And so it shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. It seems like it's night for Jerusalem. It's darkness. God says, I will help at the break of dawn. When nobody expects help to come, I will help. And that has happened almost all the time throughout the history of the Israelites. And that is going to happen again. God, at the break of dawn, is going to help that city. And that's where he's going to literally reign and rule. In Revelation chapter 22, if you can flip there very quick, maybe the cross reference is up here. Revelation 22, the first two verses, John is given a picture of heaven, perfection, paradise, the best place that you can ever think of. And in that scripture, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Practically, there's going to be a river that flows, a river of life that flows through Jerusalem. It's a river of life and healing. There's a tree there that all of us eat for healing. Water that nourishes our soul. Literally, when we end up in heaven, the new heaven and the new earth, that is going to be there. At least we know that. But for now, as we look forward to that, the Holy Spirit is here with us. And he lives in each one of us. If you have Jesus Christ, God himself is in the middle of you. God himself lives in you. And that should cause us to have so much peace and so much joy, even if everything is chaotic around us. I know people who, when they're going through difficult times, all they do is panic. You can see on their face something is wrong. You can see in the way they're dealing with their day that something is completely upside down. But there are also people that you will never know that there is turmoil inside. Stable, calm, gentle, at all times, whether through good and bad times. That is the person that we all should allow Jesus to change us to be. regardless of the chaos. Just imagine being able to be calm in the middle of a huge storm. Did I tell you the story of a lorry that actually failed to brake and hit the bus that I was in? I was towards the back seat. There was a lady who was in the middle, completely safe, and she was screaming on top of her voice, and she was yelling and trying to get out, and we're wondering, what's wrong with you? The people who almost got killed are okay, are calm, and they're trying to walk free, and you're in the middle, and you're just making noise. And you know what she said? She said, different people respond to situations differently. Then she continued screaming. Wouldn't you love to be the person who just remains calm, knowing God is in charge? Let the storms blow. Not just screaming aimlessly and, in fact, inconveniencing other people. In the middle of a situation where a mountain can be removed and thrown into the sea and more chaos, there is a river of peace and joy. It's God Himself who lives in us. And we all can allow God impact us so much that we can be peaceful and joyful in the middle of a storm. I know that storms blow all the time. After one storm, there is probably a season of peace and calm, and then there's another storm that blows. Regardless of how many storms blow, we have the privilege of staying calm because we know on whose hands we rest. We know from which river we are drinking from. The river of life, God Himself. God will help. And God will always help. It may be a long night of troubles. You may not even know how long that darkness will last. But Jesus shows up at break of dawn. That's when He resurrected. The disciples had been hiding. One night gone. Two nights gone. Almost locked up in a room with no plan of getting out. I don't know how long those guys were planning to hide in that place. But at the break of dawn, they heard that Jesus was alive. And they came out of hiding. And then they went back into hiding until Jesus Himself showed up and told them, I'm alive. Get out of hiding. It's time to go out and get the message of my resurrection out. At the break of dawn, God helps. In the rest of the chapter, after getting God's help, all the psalmist writes about is giving God credit, nations and peoples. The nations raged and kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth and makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am the Lord. I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is a refuge. There is that word refuge that is recurrent there. What is a refuge? A place you run to for safety when you know that home is troublesome. All right? And that makes us all refugees. All right? There are times that we flee home and run somewhere else. That place is God. And this is the nations raged. Jerusalem, like I said in the beginning, and Israel have had enemies all around. And there are so many who still hate the Jews with a passion. The nations have attacked Israel and Jerusalem. They still do. But He uttered His voice and the earth melted. One of the most famous stories of God's deliverance of Israel is the Six-Day War in 1966. All the nations around them attacked. In just 6 days, they gave up. And you know what happened? Israel gained more territory, more than ever before. Now, you know that 6 against 1 is quite a very unbalanced war. The 6 are going to conquer the 1. Especially when the one is in the middle, right? All of them are just going to squeeze in. But whatever happened, God rescued Israel, and they ended up beating the Egyptians and the Syrians and the Jordanians, guys from Jordan, and they gained more territory up almost to the original border that God gave them into Egypt. The nations just gave up. And no nation, by the way, can ever conquer Israel without God's permission. The Lord of hosts is with us. And when they were writing this, they were just thinking about so many stories of how God has helped them through the ages. Remember the days of Ezra and Nehemiah? When they returned, the Greeks and the Medes and Persians, the Romans. There is no popular city than Jerusalem. And that's where everybody has interests. Whether the Muslims, the Hindus, every other religion, even the pagans, even atheists have an interest in Jerusalem. At least they want to step there. Archaeologists, historians, name it. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is a refuge. That's where we go for safety. Come, behold the works. So now they invite people. I want to challenge you to do some history and research on Israel and Jerusalem. He says, come and behold the works of the Lord. And what you'll find is great, great testimony of God protecting them, providing for them, being good to them, being gracious to them. God doing amazing things with those people. Come and see the works of the Lord. Look in the history books about what God has done to that nation. He has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. That's just one more I refer to. There are so many that fought. They are still fighting more. And it's God who causes their enemies to stop attacking. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. In that six-day war, supposedly the enemies saw each other as on one side. So the Egyptian planes would see, of course they were fast to go in the air. I challenge you to actually do some reading on that. However, instead of attacking the Jewish planes that went in the airspace later, they attacked each other because they saw the other alliance as enemies. So they kept hitting each other until they realized we're making no progress. They weren't hitting the Jews. Of course, there were some casualties and deaths in the Jewish army. But the Jordanians and the Syrians were hitting the Egyptians instead. And the planes looked like they were Jewish planes. So they hit the planes and only to discover they're hitting each other. God destroys the weapons that are formed against his people. He breaks the weapons and he breaks the chariots, the armies. In that war again, more casualties were on the other nation's side than this little nation with only a few people. And as if God is speaking, you know, as they write here, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We can talk about Jerusalem, but we need to know that it's not just Jerusalem that God is for. It's people. It is everybody in our age called the church. Everybody who believes in Jesus. And all of us can call people to your life just to tell them of the great things that Jesus has done for you. How he has protected you. You know how many times you have survived enemy attacks. You know how much he has provided for you. You know how much he has blessed you with. You can invite people, come home, right? And this party, we're not going to do anything. I'm just going to tell you the good things that God has done for me. And as if God speaks, just sit there and know that I am God. I will be exalted. God himself promises that he will be praised and honored in all the earth. And the God of Jacob is where we run for safety. If you have troubles all around you, please run to God. There's no other safer place than Jesus Christ. Be a refugee in God's hands. Another short psalm, 47. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Really praising the Lord. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is great, King of all the earth. He will subdue peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us. And the excellence of Jacob whom he loves. Think about that, Selah. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with a sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. The sons of Korah have thought about God's protection, God's goodness, God's power. And they just instruct others to clap their hands. All you peoples, everyone, shout to God with a voice of triumph. A lot of songs have that line, shout the voice of triumph. Why should we be shouting? Why should we be clapping? Why should we be praising God in clapping of our hands or even the shouting? Because God is awesome. Because God is great. He gives reasons. Because God subdues all people, all nations who come against him. Because God has chosen an inheritance for us. We have heaven to inherit. We have eternity to inherit. We may inherit obligations on this earth, but we have all riches in Christ. Ephesians 1 says, in heaven, to inherit. God has gone up with a shout, and the Lord with a sound of a trumpet. They must have been thinking about the wars they fought, the battles they fought. And in some battles, I again challenge you to do some history. Go to the Kings and Samuel and Chronicles. There are times when God told them, you know what? You don't even have to fight this one. And this is how you're going to fight. But you have to go fight anyway. But you're not going to fight. Just go to the battle line and sing. How easy is that? Just imagine you're a soldier. You have your guns ready. All right? And God says, you actually have to show up. You have to go. You're not going to get victory by staying home. Dress up like warriors. These are your tools, music instruments. Now, can you imagine the UPDF going to fight with guitars? Isn't that odd? And trumpets, literally the brass band going for a battle. In some places, that's how God fought for them. He just told them, you go stand there and sing. I would love to be in that army that just goes to the front line and sings. There are people in militaries and police forces, and they don't do anything apart from joining the band, right? Now, in the band, there is this instrument called a triangle. It's just a little triangle with a little piece of metal, and all you do is hit the triangle. You can be in the U.S. Army, and all you do is play that triangle. Easy, right? Just go and sing. A lot of victory happens when we sing to the Lord. When we sing in praises, we get on high. We are lifted up from a place of anger and pity and whatever it is to a place of joy and peace. And it helps just to turn on some Christian music when you're going through troubles. Have you gone through such an experience? You just play some music It seems that the problem has gone away, but it's still there. But you're completely in a different strength in the spirit when you worship, when you just praise the Lord. And five times, four times in verse 5 and 6, fifth time in verse 7, sing praises to the king. Remember how they sang praises to David when he had conquered his enemies, he killed thousands and thousands of thousands. Same idea is here. Who do you praise the most? Now, a lot of us can really talk about our gadgets. Have you met, especially guys, talk about their toys? Let me call them toys. My toy has Bluetooth and torch and all this. Oh, mine has this and this and this. Oh, mine has this and this and this. Maybe the girls do more with the makeup, right? But you know who deserves all the praises? The king. God. How about just sitting around and talking about God did this and this for me. And God did this and this for me. And God did this and this for me. Five times praise, sing praises to our king. Sing praises to our king. Sing praises, for God is the king of all earth. Sing praises. I like what it says there in verse 7, with understanding. You can go to some worship services and, to be honest, they're not singing praises with understanding. Have you ever been to such churches? Whatever. Just noises. We have to sing with understanding. The words that God has given us in understanding. I mean, the people who write songs, write the songs in their right mind. Okay? When you say God is good, you're in your right mind. But if you just came up here and blabbered and blah, 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 what on earth are you talking about? What are you saying? Everybody will be wondering what's going on here. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 14, the Bible teaches about how service should happen, all right? That every gift has to be practiced in its rightful place. He says, what if you walk in a church and this one is speaking tongues and this one is prophesying and the pastor is up preaching and everybody's saying hallelujah, amen, and everything is going on? What is happening? He says, if a non-Christian walked in such a service, he will be thinking, you guys are crazy. Imagine somebody is looking for Jesus and comes in and the pastor is preaching and this part of the congregation is prophesying and this part is speaking in tongues and the middle is singing. You'll be like, who do I talk to? I want Jesus. You'd be actually turned away. We sing with understanding. We sing the words that we can comprehend in our minds and directly, understandably, be praising the Lord. Not just a bunch of noises and blabberings all over. Every gift has its own place. The gift of tongues has its place. Prophecy has its place. Teaching has its place. Singing. Everything has to be done orderly. This is why we should sing praises. God reigns over the earth, over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together, the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Shield talks about protection. When God's people gather, God has a shield over them. God has protection over them. Nothing can happen to them unless God allows it to happen. And lastly, in chapter 48 of Psalms, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is in her place, is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. For behold, the kings assembled. They passed by together. They saw it and they marveled. And so they marveled, rather. They were troubled. They hastened away. Fear took hold of them then. Pain as of a woman in birth pangs. And when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind, as we have heard, so we have seen, the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness. In the midst of your temple, according to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. This is really a song of victory. They went on to war, they sang and they fought, and God gave them victory. And they sing this song because they were on the winning side. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. So when the Jews would go for war, they'd actually assemble in Jerusalem, sometimes just in the temple, to ask for God's direction. And they would go fight. When they would win victory, they would still gather in the same place and they would just sing praises because they have seen God's greatness. They have seen his powerful hand. They have seen his might. They'd gather in Jerusalem just to rejoice. A lot of people come to God and God does great things in their lives. But when everything is good in that state, they leave, all right? They got what they asked for, kind of an attitude, so they leave. Not with when you go for war and you see God's hand in victory. You come back just to praise him. You come back to church just to give a testimony of what God does. And I encourage you, by the way, if you have a testimony of God's power in your life, and we all do, by the way, just let me know. You'll get the platform to tell the whole church about the greatness of God in your life. It's tough speaking before people, but the message will go across. The greatness of God will be known. One of the ways that we get to honor God is to tell others about what he has done. Beat that shyness, beat that fright, and let us know and come up and tell people about the great things that God has done in your life. Just like the sons of Korah do here. God is in her palaces. God reigns there. God is known as her refuge. That's where Jerusalem, that's where we as the church ran to hide. Now he talks about the kings. All these really who come to fight Jerusalem. So they gather. Many places they did that. Just to fight. Right? Only to look at the beauty of Jerusalem. The grandeur of Jerusalem. The temple. The hill. Back in this day, the tabernacle. The army. And you know, many times they would actually not fight. They would just assemble. A couple of times they would get confused and hit each other and leave and all. Sometimes they would gather, read the history of the Jews, the Israelites, in scriptures. They would gather to fight and they would just leave. They just reversed. The kings come, they take a look. They're tormented by fear. They hurry to pass by. They just leave. Shouldn't that happen to our enemies? Maybe they come and they intend to break into your shop or house. And God just torments them with fear and they just leave. I was actually told of a story. These thieves came to break in this house in Tinda. And this lady, she lived with her children. She's a single mother. And for some reason, they sat out with all their tools just in the veranda all night. And they did nothing. And in the morning they left. And the people inside could actually see them. They would see that, you know, there's some uninvited visitors. They are ready to do something. They had, you know, hammers and whatever. And they just sat in the veranda like security guards. And in the morning they left. God just prevented them from attacking. Maybe some of you have testimonies like that. As we have heard, they say, so we have seen in the city of our Lord of hosts, in the city of God, God will establish it forever. A lot of people, a lot of enemies have heard, have seen, and know for sure that God will establish his people, the Jews, in Jerusalem forever. And so is the church. Let me say this as we've been talking about God's enemies and nations raging and attacking. It's of great concern that there is rising wickedness. And wickedness is now being legislated. It's law for wrong things to be right. But you know what? On one side, that's what the world wants. They're evil, so what should they do? They should be doing evil. We cannot expect righteousness from evil people. But on the other hand, regardless of how many laws they make to effect their evil, they are at loss. They are the losers, aren't they? You cannot come against God and win. And that's going to be on the rise. But God is still victorious. They will come against the church, but we will be the ones in heaven. And those who come against God and reject him are going to burn in hell. This is all they can have. The laws that help them do their evil. That's the best they can have. But you know what? It's going to destroy them itself. Whether it's sexual morality, whether it's stealing, whether it's pride, whether it's all sorts of evil, it's going to kill them. God will establish us forever. We're going to heaven. In fact, all this rising wickedness should cause us to be even more uncomfortable. If you think about investing more on this earth, you realize, man, this is not a place to invest. I had better be storing my treasures in heaven. And then the people are thinking, we have thought, oh God, on your loving kindness. That's a compound word, love and kindness. We sat and thought, and we see your love, your kindness. According to your name, oh God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. When we see this evil going on, the other side of it is just singing the righteousness of God. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughter of Judah be glad because of your judgments. In the past, God pounded nations with judgment, and he will do the same. Walk about Zion, go around Jerusalem, go all around her. Account her towers. These are security posts, towers on top of the walls. Make some rounds, and you go tell what you see. All you see is that God is with his people and says, this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Now, we've been talking about praising God and exalting him and honoring him and telling others about his good works. I ask Ivan to have more songs of praise to the Lord as we end. So we haven't just talked about praise. They're going to come back, lead us in songs of praise so we can really praise, because that's what the Bible is talking about, right? We are instructed to praise. So would you please come back with your team and lead us into more praise songs to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have so many reasons to praise you, Lord. When we are uncomfortable with troubles around us, Lord, in you we can hide. Lord, you promised at the break of dawn you'll help. Lord, I pray that we may be patient to wait for your help. We may be in darkness, Lord. We may be in trouble. We may be lacking. We may be sick, in trouble with all sorts of things in this world. But we know for sure you will help. Lord, though the worst happens to us, Lord, we want to be peaceful and joyful because we know you live in us. We don't want to panic and inconvenience others and, in a way, doubt your work in us or even your presence in us. We want to be at peace. We want to rest. We want to drink that river that flows with life and healing. And Lord, we look ultimately forward to that perfection in heaven. Lord, we can spend all evening talking about the great things that you do for us, the great things you've done for your people in the past, and the great things you will do. We want to just spend more time just praising you, just singing to you in worship and exaltation, oh God. And Lord, we want to tell others of your goodness. So more than anything else, Lord, may we live to tell others about the good things that you do in our lives. Be exalted, oh God, in our lives. May we continue seeing your powerful hand, your greatness, your goodness, your loving kindness. In Jesus' name I pray.